Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Bibles tonight, go to the book of 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Then when you find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, I'd invite you to go to James chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and then James chapter number 1. And we've ordered the books for our Bible study, our overview of the Bible that we're going to go through. And they've not come in yet. Hopefully they'll be here towards the end of this week. And I didn't want to start in that without those books. And I've got it in digital format, and I've already looked at it some. And man, I'm telling you, there's some great things in it. We're going to enjoy going through that. But I wanted to wait till that book was here. So I was reading. I was actually doing my devotions on Monday. And I've got a book. It's called 40 Days with the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm going through. Matter of fact, me and Leslie and Madeline is going through that book together right now. And it was dealing with Matthew chapter number 4 and the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, some thoughts just got to turning in my mind. And I've just got a few things. I don't have no points tonight. I know I normally do, but I just got a few things tonight that I want to share with you about temptation and overcoming temptation and battling temptation. Those things come in our life. I'll give you a little bit on that. And then we'll go from there. Amen. I should have said this for prayer request, and it's more of a personal request. Then it's really even a church request, but it's part of growing up. Miss Nicole, as parents watching kids grow up, and you worry about them more. But Madeline starts her preceptorship tomorrow night on night shift at Baptist. So pray for her as she travels, and pray for Daddy. Are you with me right there? And thankfully, her mama and Papa Hobson lives about 15 minutes from Baptist. And they fixed Leslie's old bedroom back up, and Madeline will be able to stay there when she's working 2 or 3 days consecutive. But, man, I don't like this watching our kids grow up. I'm still trying to grow up myself, Brother Tim. And so do pray for her, if you will, and pray that the Lord would help her. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, I'll let you remain seated, and we'll do a little Bible study here tonight and see what we can learn. The Bible said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to look at verse number 13. The Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now, I'm just going to say this in passing because I don't want to make nobody mad right off the bat. But a lot of people take this verse out of context today. And here's what they say: God will never put more on you than you can bear. That verse has nothing to do with that. That verse has to do with temptation that comes in your life. There is times in my life that there's more on me than I can bear, but I'm glad that he said, "Take my yoke upon you." I'm glad that I can yoke up with him. He can help me carry my load. So what he is saying is this, that with every temptation, God has a way of escape so that we don't have to fall to that temptation. Now, James chapter number 1, and I want to read a few verses here. We'll start in verse 13 here of James chapter number 1. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil." Now watch this. "Neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Verse 15, boy, this is a good one. "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished," the Bible says, "it bringeth forth death." All of that comes back from temptation. We can go back to Genesis chapter number 3 and see it all transpiring in Genesis chapter number 3 and that temptation for the first time and man fall into that. Now, I just want to talk to you a little bit tonight about how to conquer or how to overcome temptation in our life. Father, you know the need of the service, and I pray, God, that you would help us tonight, God, as we do a Bible study on this. I pray, God, that we would learn from it tonight. We'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I read this, and I probably used this illustration before here, but I read this the other day, or actually yesterday and today as I was preparing. It said this, a minister was reviewing the family bills when he found a bill for the local dress shop for $250 for a new dress. He confronted his wife, yelling that she knew they couldn't afford such expenses. The wife replied, "I know, honey, but I tried the dress on and Satan tempted me. He said, my dear, you look lovely in that dress, so I bought it." The husband replied, "Why didn't you say, get thee behind me, Satan?" She said, "I did, but he said, my dear, it looks lovely from the back also." We all face temptation. Are you with me tonight? There's none of us in here today that doesn't face temptation. No matter how young or how old, temptation comes in our life. I want to say something to you tonight, and let me finish what I'm going to start before you judge the statement. Temptation within itself is not a sin. However, when we turn to temptation or we fall to temptation, it becomes sin at that time. Temptation is not of God, it's of the devil. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:13 interestingly states that with temptation, there's always a way of escape. The phrase "way of escape" is from the Greek word ekbasis, which means this: an exit, a way out of something. It was used to describe a way of a mountain passage. This idea is of an army apparently surrounded and then suddenly seeing an escape route to safely through the mountains escape what they was facing. Can I say something to you tonight? Temptation will surround us. There's no way that we are not going to face temptation. However, God has a passageway. God has a way of escape. I was thinking about this the other day. Industrial Fire and Safety was here, and it's time for our yearly in January. We do our yearly fire inspection, so the fire marshal's office will be here in the next week or so and go through everything. And Industrial Fire and Safety came out. I asked him, I said, "Hey, look, if you come out and check all of our fire extinguishers instead of me getting them down, bringing them to you, letting you service them, then coming back and getting them," they said, "We charge $5 a fire extinguisher." I said, "Come on." So they was here checking everything, Brother Aaron, and they would go around, and they had a stick, and they would push the emergency exit light to see if the battery backup was working. I got to thinking about that. Just like there is an exit out of this building tonight, those are illuminated exit signs. Even if the power goes out, there's an exit sign. It shows you this is the way you get out. Anytime that you face any temptation in your life, all you've got to do is look around. God has an exit sign. God has a way of escape. The way out of temptation is not by retreating or surrendering to the temptation, but by conquering it through the grace and the power of God in our lives. The secret to resisting temptation is to recognize the source of temptation, which is always Satan, and then recognize the source of strength in the temptation. And the Bible said this again in James 1:13. He said, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Now here's what a lot of people refer back to and run back to. It's Genesis chapter number 22. Matter of fact, boy, Genesis chapter number 22, Brother Buster Seaton preached on the gospel. It's preached unto Abraham, and he preached it in 1984 at Victory Baptist Church underneath the tent where Brother Larry Brown was at. And I found, Brother Matt, I found the video to that last night. I've heard the message, I don't know how many times, but I found the video to it last night. And man, I'm telling you, I was about to tear the house down watching Brother Buster Seaton preach on that. But anyway, he talks about this in Genesis 22, verse number 1, that God tempted Abraham or tempt Abraham. But you got to study out the meaning of the words. It's two completely different meanings. He tested Abraham. This temptation that we're referring to in James and in 1 Corinthians is of Satan tonight. He is tempting us to do wrong. God is not going to tempt you to do wrong. God tests us sometimes, but He is not going to tempt us to do wrong. Sometimes the way that we resist temptation, watch this, is fleeing from the temptation. Many times people run to the temptation instead of away from the temptation. I was reading today and studying today, and my mind went back to Genesis chapter number 39. And in Genesis chapter number 39, Joseph has found great favor with the rulers there. And matter of fact, just go to Genesis 39. We're going to use our Bible tonight, Genesis 39. Let's just look at this. Genesis chapter number 39, and whenever you study this, Joseph is at a place of temptation there at Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh. And look in verse number 11. We're talking about how do we conquer temptation when it comes against us. The Bible said this, and it came to pass after this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she, who is that? That's Potiphar's wife. She, watch this, called him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now, I want you to see, so I read this today, and I love studying this story of Joseph, man. What a picture of the grace of God in Joseph's life. But watch this right here. Note the latter portion of verse number 11. There was none of the men of the house there within, and she caught him. She caught him. You know what he does? I believe this in all of my heart. You know what he does? He walks in, he recognizes this is a trap, this is temptation, and he runs, buddy. He takes off. She caught him. She laid hands on him. She caught him that day. Joseph had one of two things he could do with temptation. Joseph could have stayed there and messed his life up, but he didn't do that. He ran. God made a way of escape for Joseph that day. Let me give you another illustration about God making a way of escape. I don't have this wrote down, and I'm going to come back to Joseph in just a second. But David, you remember the story in 2 Samuel chapter number 11 when David messes up with Bathsheba. And when David sends and inquires who the woman was that was bathing herself on the house, the servant comes back to David and says this, "Is not this Bathsheba the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" You know what he's saying? He's saying, "Hey, David, you better think about what you're fixing to do. That's one of your mighty men's wife that you're fixing to call on." God gave David a way of escape from that temptation. But the difference was this. Joseph fled from it. David fled to it. Joseph fled from it. God made a way of escape. You remember the story of Samson? Man, we could go on and on about Bible characters that messed up in their life. You remember the story of Samson? Samson goes down to Timnath, and there's a lion in the way. He's at that vineyard. Number one, he wasn't supposed to be at that vineyard, because of his Nazirite separation. He was supposed to have nothing to do with grapes. So he's going to the wrong place to see the wrong woman, and he's in the wrong area while he's traveling to the wrong place, and God sends a line. And then watch this. God gives him the ability to kill the lion. He gives him the ability. You know what God's doing? Whoa, Samson, you better turn around. You better go the other way. God always, hear me and hear me well, God always makes a way of escape. Well, preacher, I was put in this spot and I just couldn't get out of it. You didn't look for the exit sign. I just couldn't help it. That lady put me in the wrong place, or that man put me in the wrong place. No, you didn't look for the exit sign. God always makes a way. Realize that running away from temptation is an act of victory over the flesh. It will take, listen to me, it'll take self-discipline to look for that way out, even in the middle of the temptation, and then take it when it is found. Here's what the Bible said in Romans chapter 13, verse number 14. This is the latter portion of that verse, and here's what he says. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. To make no provision for the flesh. If you know that you have a problem with something, you don't need to go nowhere around it. I've said this many times, but let me give it to you again. I do not have a problem with alcohol. I've never had a problem with alcohol. I've never been drunk a day in my life. I can walk by a cooler of alcohol and it don't bother me one bit because I could care less about it. But there's probably some people sitting in this room today that has had a problem with alcohol at some point in time in your life. You know what you need to do? Make no provisions for the flesh. Well, it's Wednesday night and it's real quiet. Preacher, how do I overcome this? How do I get past this? You make no provision for it. You make no provision for it. There's probably people that has battled the addiction of pornography. You hear me and hear me well. I'd rather carry a flip phone and never have a computer in my house. Make no provision. Make no provision. He said, don't make a provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, if you make a provision for the flesh, you're going to give in to temptation and you're going to fulfill the lust thereof. Then when lust hath conceived, you remember James chapter 1, verse number 16 in the beginning? Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. You wonder why, you wonder why marriages are busting up? Marriages are going to the death? Why? Because people are making, boy, I'm preaching good tonight. People are making provision for the flesh. Preacher, how do I not do that? Don't go around it. Just don't go around it. God has made a way of escape that we may be able to bear or endure the temptation. The man who has the most temptations has the most chances to grow in grace. You can do one of two things. You can give in to it, or you can let the power of God be manifested through you and find a way of escape. What the devil designed for destruction, God uses for development. Are you hearing me? What Satan uses for our pollution, the Lord uses for our perfection. The moral struggles that we face can make us more mature or can ruin us if we compromise. We were made to be conquerors and even more than conquerors in Christ, not cowards falling to temptation. Amen. We are sons of God, not slaves to sin. Yet we are not to stick our head into the mouth of temptation and allow it to overtake us. You know what? Overcoming temptation has a lot to do with you. I understand that it's all through the power of God. However, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, you're going to have to yield yourself to Christ. Amen. You're going to have to yield yourself. Listen to what the Bible said. Think about this. Stay away from temptation. Listen to what the Bible said in Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of the evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Listen to me right here. If you know Billy Bob is going to have a get-together, and at that get-together, there's going to be a chance of a temptation in your life. The best thing you can do is tell Billy Bob you love him, but you ain't coming. Are you with me? I love you, but I ain't coming. Well, you're better than us. You got some religion now. No, it has nothing to do with being better than you. I'm not better than you, but the Bible just told me not to make provisions for the flesh. And I'm sorry, man, I just can't come. I just can't come. We will all be tempted to do what is wrong. There's no way to avoid temptation completely. However, I do believe God has designed a way for the amount of temptation that we face to be drastically reduced. Can I just say that phrase again? We will all be tempted to do what is wrong. There's no way to avoid temptation completely. However, I believe that God has designed a way for the amount of temptation that we face to be drastically reduced. Listen to what he said in Matthew chapter number 6 as he was teaching them to pray. He said this in that model prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He said, Lord, you know what we're supposed to be praying every day? Lord, deliver me from that. Deliver me from that. I heard my daddy say this years ago. And he says a few good things every once in a while. And I heard him say this years ago. Here's what he said, Miss Vicki. He said, we can't live a sinless life, but we can live a life of less sin. We can't live a sinless life, but I do believe we can live a life of less sin. You said, preacher, what do you mean by that? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If I sincerely make this my prayer request before God, I am saying, I am also going to do my part. I'm not going around the people or the places, or I'm not going to, here's the way that you said, I don't know how they say it now, I'm not going to surf the internet in the places that I know will cause me greater temptation. That I know will cause me, man, it's quiet tonight, greater temptation. You know why some Christians have a real problem with temptation? Let me tell you why. They want to. They want to. So you've lost your mind. Oh, I think I'm right on the right track. They want to. They want to face that. There are areas of their lives that they love so much that they can't let go of it. Their desire for sin is so great that it does not take much temptation to make them fall. I thought about this. I'm reading a book right now, and I never thought that I would say this. If you'd asked me this 25 years ago, I'd said you was crazy. If you'd have said that I was going to say what I'm fixing to say, I enjoy reading. 25 years ago, I'd said, no, you're crazy. But the older I get, the more I read. And the majority of what I read is studying to preach. But I'm always trying to read something on leadership, Brother Aaron, and developing leadership. And I read a lot. Jack Treber's got a great book on it. Paul Chappell's got a great book on it. Dr. Hiles has got a great book on it, How to Help People Reach Their Full Potential. Man, that's a great book. It really is. It's a dated book because of the age that he came from. However, it has got great principles in it. But I'm reading one right now. It's called The Top 2%. It has nothing to do with spiritual things, but I think we can take the things that's in it make a spiritual application to help our church be better. And that's what I'm reading it for. And here's what it talks about in the top 2%. What it's dealing with is this, the top 2% people in the world. In other words, in the work field, in business, how, if you work for a company, how can you be in the top 2% of that company? How can you be the person that stands out? How can you be, you're like this and Brother Kevin, how can you be in the top 2% of the highest paid people in the world? How do you make it there? How did they get there? And whenever you look at those things, there's a lot of great practical applications that you can make in your life. And one of them that I was reading last night as I was reading through it,
it talks about our brain, and it talks about retraining our brain. Did you know you can retrain the brain? And if you don't believe me, I believe Brother Mason would probably agree to that 100% from coming out of the military. And if there, man, Brother David Williams, if he was here, he could tell you story after story about going to highway patrol school. You go in one person, you come out somebody completely different. Why? Because they completely strip you of everything that you are. They take every little bit of pride, every little bit of ego. They take every bit of that away from you and make you feel like you're nothing. And you have to have them to make it. You can retrain your brain. And here's what he says in that book. He says that when you do something, it etches a little something in your brain. I'm not quoting him verbatim. Get the book and read it. It's very interesting. And he says over time, Brother Tim, if you continue to do that, it's like it makes a ditch in your brain. And you just automatically start doing it. Let me illustrate. I'm going to use this as a phone, okay? 10 years ago, if you sat down with somebody to eat a meal, you eat a meal and talked. Did everybody just catch that? You eat a meal and talk. Now you sit down and eat a meal. And if it's not this, it's this. And we're not checking the time. We're seeing who just texted us. Or what the money market just done, or if somebody liked your post on social media, what happened? You made a ditch in your brain because one day you picked it up and looked at it, and then you know what you done? The next day you picked it up, and then you picked it up twice the next day and three times the next day, and now all of a sudden you can't even sit down to talk to somebody. I have to tell my dad every once in a while, you need to put your phone up. Dad, it'll be all right. Have we not had to tell him, Mama, put that thing on vibrate. Turn the ring. It's okay if it dings. You don't have to just run over there to it. But what happened? Oh, he's going to go to the altar here in a minute. What happened? Here's what happened. We started something, and it etched in our brain, and then it become a ditch. And here's the thing. Temptation started in your life, and instead of you running the other way from it, you begin to glance at it a little bit. And you begin to glance at it, and you begin to glance at it, and now all of a sudden, you're eat up with pornography. You're eat up with hiding things from your spouse. You're eat up with alcohol. I'm telling you, alcohol's killing our country today. And everybody's wanting to say it's all right. I'm against every bit of it. I mean every bit of it. I'm talking about wine. I'm talking about wine. I'm talking about wine. I'm talking about every bit of it. You say, well, I'm just going to sip a little. You might as well go get you a fifth of Mad Dog 2020. There ain't no difference in it. Are you with me? What happened? We cut a ditch in our brain. But we can retrain our brain. And what you're going to have to do is realize the way you retrain your brain is every morning you do this. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. When temptation comes, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me. Help me to see the exit sign that you have for me. Listen to this. Some love pornography so much that it doesn't take much to get them back into it. Some love adultery and fornication so much that it doesn't take much to make them immoral. Some love gossip so much that it doesn't take much to make them gossip. Some love hunting, fishing, and sports so much that it doesn't take much for them to make that their little G-O-D. Somebody say amen. Some love alcohol so much that it doesn't take much for them to make that their drink of choice. Some love themselves so much that it doesn't take much for them to lie to save their own skins. Say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. If I pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation, then I have to be willing myself to look for the exit sign and to run from temptation. The only way that we'll ever do that is with the help of God. We cannot do that on our own. We don't have the strength on our own to do that. We must have a supernatural force to help us, which is God. Romans chapter number 6. I'll give you this in closing. Romans chapter number 6. I'm just trying to help us tonight. How we overcome these things. How we retrain our brain to go to God. Look at this, Romans chapter number 6. I love Romans 6, 7, and 8. Some of the most powerful chapters in the Word of God is Romans 6, 7, and 8. Man, I love them. You got to back up and get chapter 5, too. Anyway, it's wonderful. Milton Taylor, there's nobody that will ever preach Romans 5, 6, and 7 like Brother Milton Taylor. Look what he said in Romans chapter number 6, verse number 1. I'm going to give you this in closing. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Look what he said, God forbid. Preacher, I just keep sinning because I know that if I sin, that I can 1 John 1:9, and everything will be all right. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You better read that verse again. You better think about that verse. He's faithful to forgive you for it, but he's also just. In other words, if we sin, he's going to chastise. He's just. He's a God of love and a God of forgiveness and a long-suffering God. Boy, I study in that word today. My soul, man. You go to the 1828 Webster's Dictionary if you use it online. And one thing that's very interesting, if you look on the left-hand corner of that, it says Bible. You can click on that Bible, and then it says this. Words from the King James Version of the Bible. And I was studying that word long-suffering. Boy, that's a good word, Brother Aaron. Man, he's long-suffering, but hear me. He's also just. He is a God of love, but he is a God of judgment. And when we sin and we mess up, he forgave David, but the sword never departed from David's house. He forgave Samson, but he never got his eyesight back, and he died a martyr to sin. So before you just say, hey, I'm going to 1 John 1:9 this, you might ought to read that verse again because he's just. Look what he says. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Listen to this. When Jesus died on the cross, I died with him. When Jesus was buried, I was buried with him. When Jesus rose to newness of life, guess what? I rose to newness of life. What does baptism do? Baptism does not save you. Somebody give me an amen right there. It signifies that you are dying to the old man and you're raised a new man in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? He said this. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In other words, when we're saved, we die to the old man. We're raised a new man in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how do I live that? The life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself more. What did he say? He said, I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. I died to the old man. A new man moved in my life. Now it's up to you who you're going to let run your life. That's up to you. What did he say? He said this. He said that we are dead to sin. Now look in verse 10. I just skipped 2 hours of preaching from verse 5 to verse 10. Look what he said in verse number 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the, what's that word, lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. God says you must make a decision. You must decide or reckon that you are dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Such decision brings another decision to yield yourself to God and the parts of your body as instruments of righteousness unto God. You either yield to sin or you'll yield to God. Notice the promise in verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. If you're not under the law, but under grace. When sin and when temptation has the victory over you, it's because you did not yield yourself to Christ. Hear me while I'm fixing that. Miss Courtney, will you come start playing something? It'll give them some hope. The devil didn't make you do nothing. Are you with me? Boy, the devil made me do this, and the devil made me... No. You decided not to look for an exit sign in your life. I wish you'd hear me. I'm just trying to help us. You decided not to yield yourself to Christ, but you yielded yourself as members of unrighteousness. It's up to us what we do. How many times in 17 years, but still the best illustration I know on it, have I talked about Tom and Jerry? Tom run Jerry in the wall and was going to get him out and barbecue him and eat him. I'd still like to see that house, man. It had a bed in the wall. It had a kitchen in the wall. It was a big old wall. And whenever he goes to stick that piece of dynamite in there to blow Jerry out, if y'all ain't never watched Tom and Jerry, I'm sorry. You need to go home and watch it, okay? The devil's on this side. Devil's on this side, and he says, blow him up. Blow him to smithereens, man. And an angel sits down on this side. Brother Aaron, he says, now don't do that. Jerry's a good little old feller. You don't need to kill Jerry. And the devil goes, put two sticks of dynamite in there. And the angel goes, better not do that. Jerry's a good little old mouse. He's your buddy. Don't kill him. And you know what Tom's got to do? He's got to decide who he's going to listen to. How many times in your life have you been at that moment? I'm not talking about killing Jerry, okay? How many times you been at that moment in your life where something was going, you don't need to say that. You don't need to do that. You better run. Something told Joseph, get out of there. She caught him. He had already started exiting the house. I believe that. I believe as soon as he walked in, he realized that she's in there by herself. None of the other men was nowhere around. Son, he realized temptation was there because maybe, just let me preach it in our dispensation, maybe he had prayed that morning, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from such. And he walked in and realized, boy, something's not right right here. You ever had that gut feeling something just wasn't right? That may be God trying to deliver you from evil. Joseph had a decision he had to make. I'm either going to run or I'm going to mess my life up. blow him up. Don't do that. But you got to make the final decision. The preacher can't hold your hand every day of your life. I tell this to our young people all the time. I can't hold your hand every day of your life. I can't make decisions for you. When mama's not around and daddy's not around, there has to be something. You know what? Madeline's going to be at Baptist Hospital for the next 3 or 4 months, and if things go as she wants it to go, she'll be there a whole lot longer than that. And you know what? For 20 years, we've tried to teach her what's right. We've tried to teach her the Word of God. We've tried to take her to the house of God. We didn't send her. We took her to the house of God. Amen. It's my place to train them. I just didn't preach to her here. I tried to teach her at home. But you know what? I guarantee you, over the next 3 or 4 months, in that wicked environment that's called the world that we all live in, she's going to have to make a decision. Somebody's going to invite her somewhere. Somebody's going to offer her something. And daddy can't always be there. And she's going to have to make a decision. Am I going to run or am I going to give in? He said, who you yield yourself to. In church, the way that we overcome temptation in our life is this. We yield ourselves to Christ. Every day when we get up, before we start our day, we say, God, here I am today. No, I don't get saved every morning I get up. Somebody say amen. But you understand what I'm saying. God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Every day we have to pray that. And when God puts up a roadblock, we listen to it, even when we don't understand it, and we run the opposite direction. I thought about this. Now I'm going to use this family for an illustration tonight. A lot of people don't know what all Brother Aaron does. But Brother Aaron is a major part of my ministry at Amazing Grace. Not just because he works with young people and does a great job on Sunday mornings, but there's been a lot of times when things that didn't have nothing to do with this church, nothing to do with it, personal things in my life. Matter of fact, in recent days, we've talked a lot about some decisions. And I've called him up, or I Marco Polo him. It's what I usually do, because you can just leave them a video message and when they have time, they can watch it. And I say, hey, Brother Aaron, man, I don't know what to do. Help me out with this. Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? What should I do? Brother Aaron will come back and he'll always have something profound to say. And I'm like, I mean, with a name like Stoltzfus, you got to have something to say. And he'll say something back to me. You know what the devil would love to do? He works in a wicked environment. He's assistant supervisor with EMS. Every fourth day, he's gone for 24 hours working. Miss Bethany works in a... I'm telling you, healthcare is a wicked world, whether you want to agree with me or not. As a nurse, works in a wicked environment. And you know what? There's been numerous times that the devil has already tried to bust their marriage into a million pieces. And let me tell you the only reason he hasn't. He ain't never told me that, but I know. Let me tell you the only reason he hasn't is because they both decided to yield to the right thing. If you're sitting here tonight, the devil's desire for your life is to destroy it, is to completely wreck your life. But you're going to have to decide tonight who you're going to yield to. There's an exit sign. There's an exit sign. All you got to do is look for it. You know, the first thing I do when I walk into a restaurant, I know most of them. I don't eat many places. I'm pretty picky. Y'all know that. I went into a new one yesterday with Brother Elijah, and the first thing I done was look for the exit. After we got set down, I looked for my nearest exit. You say, why? Well, I didn't have to be the fastest one there, but I did need to run somebody out. I needed to be, I want to know how I get out of this place. If I go to the mall, when I'm walking through the mall, if, that's a big if. You know what I do the whole time, Brother Matt? I'm scanning for an exit sign. In case something goes south. In case something goes south. Tickled me to death because we went to a corner yesterday. I can't stand not to sit in a corner where I can see everything that's going on. Are you with me? I look for an exit sign. Listen to me. Every morning in your life, you ought to pray, God, show me the exit sign today. God, show me the exit sign. God, I love you too much. God, you've been too good to me. God, you bless my family too much. Help me to see the exit sign today when temptation comes. Father.